الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد حي على السلام حي على السلام حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح
إياك نعبد صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
دو دن ہوئے الفضل انٹرنیشنل کا تازہ شمارہ دیکھ رہا تھا, اس میں حضرت مسلم معود رضی اللہ عنہ کے خطاب کا ایک حصہ دیا ہوا تھا, جس میں آپ نے اس وقت
Two days ago, I was reading over the latest edition of Al-Fazl International, in which a section of one of the addresses of Hazrat Musleh Maud had been published. In it, then in 1927, he drew attention by saying that now there are still some companions among us, thus we should collate through them the narrations and accounts of the promised Messiah, on whom be peace. Because a time will come when these will play huge importance in helping to resolve many problems and issues. Hazrat Musleh Maud cited an example that a young companion told me that all he remembered was that when he was very young, one day he grabbed hold of the hand of the promised Messiah, on whom be peace. The companion says that for a period of time, I remained standing side by side, hand in hand, with the promised Messiah, alayhi salam. Sometime later, the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, let go of his hand and became engaged in some work. Now, this is an apparently small episode, and the companion said that although I am a companion, this is all that I remember. Hazrat Musleh Maud writes that even in such small incidents, great and momentous results can be born. For example, from this small occurrence, we learn that even young children should be brought in the gatherings and assemblies of elders and holy people. We also see that the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, lovingly kept hold of the child's hand, but when required, he affectionately let go of his hand. Hazrat Musleh Maud writes that such incidents sometimes provide the answers for issues that arise in the future. So thus, even the smallest accounts and occurrences that the companions have related with relation to the promised Messiah include a lesson. So here, the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, kept hold of the child's hand with love and affection. When the time required and he had to carry out some work in a certain way and a method with love and affection, he let go of the child's hand in such a way that would not have a negative impact upon him. I had previously related accounts of the promised Messiah, alayhi salam's companions. Hazrat Musleh Maud, in his own manner and style, recounted some of the episodes in the life of the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, which he personally was witness to. He has recalled these in his various addresses and sermons, all of which are published. These contain lessons, advice, history, and various aspects of the life of the promised Messiah, on whom be peace. All of these things have a very significant impact and effect upon our lives, and can help to beautify them. One of our Waqfi Zindagi's life devotee, Habibur Rahman Sahib, is currently undergoing efforts to try and collate these accounts from various sources. It is a good attempt and effort. However, some things remain unclear unless they are provided with context, and if they are just presented as a collection of quotes. So thus, a certain methodology, approach, and way would have to be adopted to these. In any case, once this is separately published according to a specific manner, I hope that it will be a very positive addition to the Jamaat's literature. Nonetheless, at this time, I have gathered together various accounts which relate to Hazrat Musleh Maud's personal experiences of the promised Messiah on whom be peace, or he has related accounts of other people. As I have said, he has presented them in his own manner and style. These include advice, counsel, and also explanations and clarifications of certain other issues. I will present a few of these today. They are not on any specific topic, but relate to multifarious areas. Inshallah, as the opportunity arises in the future, I will continue to relate these. The reason why I am and will relate these in the Friday sermon is for the reason that via MTA, the Friday sermon is heard to the greatest degree by the Jamaat around the world. Further, as I have already explained, these episodes play a part in helping resolving various issues and problems. Thus, it is necessary to convey these to every single Ahmadi. The Friday sermon is the best means of doing so. Hazrat Musleh Maud relates that once a dog walked up to a door. I was standing there and only the promised Messiah alayhi salam was inside. I signaled towards the dog and said, "Tipu, Tipu." The promised Messiah alayhi salam came out furiously and said, "Are you not ashamed? The British, due to their enmity, have named their dogs after an upright and honest Muslim, whilst you copy them and also call the dog Tipu. Don't you dare do this again." Hazrat Musleh Maud said that I was perhaps 8 or 9 years old at the time. This was the first day when love for Sultan Tipu embedded in my heart. I thought in my mind that the sacrifices of Sultan Tipu have not gone to waste, for God the Almighty has caused his name to be given so many blessings that the chosen one of Allah the Almighty of the time has regard for him and holds a sense of honor for his name. Hazrat Musleh Maud then writes, where on the one hand we learn from this episode that to tolerate every single action of a child indiscriminately does not entail kindness and gentleness. There, on the other hand, we can also gauge the unwavering national and religious sense of honor of the promised Messiah. The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, tolerated the child who burnt the manuscripts which the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, had drafted and written, which God knows how long and how much energy he had expended in writing. The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, bore this and did not feel troubled upon having to spend more energy and to rewrite this. The incident Hazrat Musleh Maud is referring to is as follows. Once Hazrat Musleh Maud was a young child and was playing with other children. He burnt entirely the manuscript of a book that the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, had been writing. The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, did not utter a word upon this. So Hazrat Musleh Maud says that he had tolerated this despite having put so much effort into it. But the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, could not tolerate for a national leader to be affronted or disrespected even to the slightest degree. A Muslim leader who was martyred out of fighting for his nation and with whom he had no other link apart from through Islam. The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, would not tolerate for this Muslim leader to be dishonored or disgraced by a child who does something out of ignorance. This incident is also a lesson for those who allege that the promised Messiah alayhi salam was a British agent. That heart that was laced with national pride and honor, and who only greatly revered and respected Sultan Tipu because instead of submitting to the British, he courageously gave up his life. So how is it possible for us to even consider the notion or the idea that such a noble and upright person could be an agent for another country? In another place, Hazrat Musleh Maud says, in my view, no one is a bigger enemy of children than those parents who do not inculcate the habit in their children of congregational prayers. I recall a personal experience. Once the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, was ill and therefore could not go to the mosque for the Jummah prayers. I was not mature at the time, and therefore the obligatory commands relating to a mature person were not applicable to me. I was young and a child, albeit I was going to the mosque for Jummah. In terms of my age at the time, I could not remember the countenance of the person, but this incident had such a deep impact upon me that I still remember that person. His name is Muhammad Baksh. He lives in Qadian till today. So I asked him that you are returning from the mosque. Has the Jummah finished? He said that there are too many people in the mosque and there is insufficient space. So hearing this, I also turned back. I returned home and I said the prayer. Seeing this, the promised Messiah alayhi salam asked me, why did you not go to the mosque for the Friday prayer? With the grace of the Almighty Allah, that from childhood I respected the promised Messiah as the status of a prophet. I saw that when he asked, there was sternness and anger would emanate from him. This manner of interrogation had a deep impact upon me. So I responded, I did go to the mosque, but because there was not enough room, I returned. Hearing this, the promised Messiah kept silent. However, when Maulvi Abdul Karim Sahib, after the Friday prayer, came to see the promised Messiah and ask him about his health, the first thing the promised Messiah inquired from him was, were there a lot of people in the mosque today? At the time, I became extremely anxious and agitated because I had not actually gone to the mosque myself. I was unaware whether the person had misinformed me or I had perhaps misunderstood him. I thought from what he said that there was not enough space in the mosque. I was concerned that either if I had misunderstood or he had misinformed me, in both cases, I would be blamed for lying. So Maulvi Abdul Karim Sahib responded, yes, Your Holiness, indeed today there were a great number of people in the mosques. Till today I do not know what the reality is, but Allah the Almighty provided this means for my absolvement and exoneration, that through Maulvi Sahib this statement was verified. Or perhaps actually on that day a large number of people came to the mosque. But in any case, this was the episode that till today left a deep impression on my heart. From this we can see how mindful the promised Messiah alayhi salam was of congregational prayers. Then Hazrat Musleh Maud relates a light incident with regards to his education and handwriting from childhood. Hazrat Musleh Maud says that I am most indebted to Hazrat Khalifa Tamsi I for my education and childhood. He was a physician and he was aware that due to my health I could not study for long periods of time. It was therefore his method that he would seat me beside him and say, Mia, I will go on reading whilst you should listen to what I say. The reason for this is that in childhood I suffered from severe trachoma. Continually for 3 or 4 years my eyes were suffering. My eyes pained so much due to the trachoma that the doctors had said that I would lose my eyesight. Upon this, the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, prayed especially for my health. Alongside this, he also observed some fasts. I cannot remember at this time how many fasts he kept, but in any case, he observed 3 or 7 fasts. When he was breaking the last of these fasts, and he had placed something in his mouth to eat, then suddenly at the time, I opened my eyes. I exclaimed, I can see. But the severity of this illness and its continuous effects meant that I became blind in one of my eyes. Consequently, I cannot see with my left eye. I can see the path in front of me, but I cannot read a book through it. If a person is sitting a few feet before me who I recognize, then I can see him and recognize him. But if someone who I am unfamiliar with is sitting before me, I will not be able to see his face. Only my right eye functions, but even that suffered from trachoma, which was so severe that I spent many a sleepless night. The promised Messiah alayhi salam had said to my teachers that he will study according to his will. One point we can see from this is that despite all of this illness, Allah the Almighty had said that the promised son would be filled with religious and secular knowledge, and we see how this has come to pass. Hazrat Musleh Maud has said in one place that he had read hundreds of thousands of books and he would read each one rapidly. So Hadhrat Musleh Maud says that the promised Messiah has said that he will study as much as he wills. If he does not study, he should not be pressurized, because his health does not permit him to be burdened with so much study. The promised Messiah alayhi salam would still most certainly say that read the translation of the Holy Quran and Bukhari from Maulvi Sahib, that is Hadhrat Khalifatul Masih the First. The promised Messiah alayhi salam had also said that learn medicine to some degree, because this is our family's tradition. Hadhrat Musleh Maud says that Master Fakirullah was this year unable to return to us. He had previously separated for some time and joined the Nomo Bai, those who don't accept the Khilafat. So he was our mathematics teacher. He would answer the questions of the students on the blackboard. Due to my weak eyesight, I could not see to the blackboard. My eyesight could not reach to the distance of the blackboard. Further, in any case, I could not look to the blackboard for a long period of time because my eyes would tire. So this is why I thought it was useless for me to attend class. If I felt like I would go to the class, and if not, I would refrain. One day, Master Fakirullah complained to the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, and said that he does not study anything. At times he comes to the school and at other times he is absent. I remember that when Master Fakirullah brought this complaint to the promised Messiah, I hid myself away out of fear, not knowing how angry the promised Messiah may become. But when the promised Messiah alayhi salam heard this, he said to Master Fakirullah, "It is very kind of you that you are taking care of this child. Hearing what you have said, I am very happy that he at least comes to the school sometimes. Otherwise, in my view, his health would not permit him to study at all." Laughingly, the promised Messiah then said, "It is not as if we are going to get him to open up a grocery shop. That is not why he needs to learn mathematics. Whether he learns mathematics or not, it does not matter. After all, what mathematics or arithmetic were taught to the Holy Prophet or his companions? If he goes to the school, it is all well and good. Otherwise, he should not be compelled." I should say with regards to mathematics and arithmetic that Hadhrat Musleh Maud developed such acumen in mathematics that even during his speeches, he would make calculations in their hundreds of thousands right there and then. Hadhrat Musleh Maud says, "Hearing this, Master Sahib returned. Due to this gentle approach, I took further advantage and I stopped going to the school altogether. I would go just once or twice in the entire month. In short, this is how I was given my education. In truth, I was bound, because in childhood, apart from my eyesight problems, I also suffered from kidney problems. For 6 months on end, I would be given a water mixture of either herbs or pulse on the mung. For kidney problems, this treatment is also beneficial. Alongside this, I also suffered from expansion of the spleen, which I would also be treated for. Trachoma of the eyes and many other illnesses were my lot. I would also suffer from fever, which would remain for 6 months on end. So for the elders to decide that I should study as much as I wish, I should not be pressurized too much. Every person can decipher from this what the nature of my secular education was. Once, my maternal grandfather, Mir Nasir Nawab Sahib, may Allah be pleased with him, tested me on my Urdu. Even now, I have very poor handwriting, but at the time, my handwriting was so bad that my writing was unreadable. He tried hard to discover what I had written, but he could not make it out. He was extremely short-tempered, and in great anger, he rushed to the promised Messiah, alayhi salam. Coincidentally, I was at home at the time. We were already fearful of his temperament. He came with this complaint to the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, which filled me with more fear, being unaware of what would happen to me. In any case, Mir Sahib arrived. He said to the promised Messiah that you pay no attention whatsoever to Mahmud's education. I tested him on his Urdu. At least look at his paper. His handwriting is so poor that no one can read it. In the same impassioned state, he said to the promised Messiah, "You do not pay any attention to this. The age of the child is being wasted away." When the promised Messiah saw Mir Sahib in this impassioned state, he said, "Call Hadhrat Maulvi Sahib." Whenever the promised Messiah would face any difficulty or problem, he would always summon Hadrat Khalifa Tumasi I. Hadrat Muslim Maud says that Hadrat Khalifa Tumasi I had great affection towards me. He came and as normal, he stood on one side and stooped his head down. He never raised his head to look at the promised Messiah. The promised Messiah said, Maulvi Sahib, I have called you for the reason that Mir Sahib claims that Mahmud's handwriting is unreadable. I desire for him to be tested. Saying this, the promised Messiah alayhi salam lifted his pen. He wrote a few sentences and gave it to me, saying that I should copy them. So this was my test, which the promised Messiah alayhi salam took from me. Very carefully and with great deliberation, I copied his handwriting. Firstly, the words were not that lengthy, and secondly, all I had to do was to copy them. To copy something is very easy, because the original is right before one. Very slowly, I copied the handwriting, making sure to place all the letters. When the promised Messiah alayhi salam saw my handwriting, he said, hearing what Mir Sahib said, I became extremely worried, but his handwriting is very similar to mine. Hazrat Khalifa Tumasi I was already inclined in my favor. He said, Your Holiness, Mir Sahib is needlessly getting impassioned, whereas in truth, the handwriting is very good. Hazrat Muslim Maud says, After the demise of the promised Messiah, Hazrat Khalifa Tumasi I said, Mia, at least complete studying Bukhari with me. As I have said, the promised Messiah would say to me that I should learn the Holy Quran and Bukhari from Hazrat Khalifa Tumasi I. So, even within the life of the promised Messiah, I had started studying the Quran and Bukhari with Hazrat Khalifa Tumasi I, although there were some gaps here and there. I also had started studying medicine from Hazrat Khalifa Tumasi I, as per the directive of the promised Messiah. Then, when Hazrat Muslim Maud established the magazine Tashhizul Azhan, so how did Hazrat Khalifa Tumasi I treat him, and what did he desire to see in him? In this regard, Hazrat Muslim Maud writes, Some time ago, I, along with a few friends, launched the magazine Tashhizul Azhan. To introduce this magazine, I wrote an article mentioning its aims and objectives. After my article was published, Hadrat Khalifa Tumasi I especially praised this to the promised Messiah alayhi salam. He said to the promised Messiah that it is worthy of being read by His Holiness. Subsequently, the promised Messiah alayhi salam asked for that magazine in Masjid Mubarak, and he perhaps had Mulana Muhammad Ali read it out, after which he praised it. After this, when I met Hadrat Khalifa Tumasi I, he said, Mia, your article was very good, but my heart is not yet content and satisfied. There is a famous idiom in our language that the camel is worth 40 and the offspring 42, but the offspring is worth more than the father. But you have not fulfilled this. At the time, I did not sufficiently know Punjabi to have understood this phrase. Observing the expression of astonishment on my face, Hadrat Khalifa Tumasi I said, Perhaps you have not understood this. It relates to an example from our area. A person was selling a camel, as well as the camel's offspring, which is called a toda in this area. Someone asked him the price, upon which he replied that the camel is 40 rupees, the toda, the offspring, is 42 rupees. He inquired why this was so, upon which he said that the toda, the offspring, is both a camel and an offspring. So Hadrat Khalifa Tumasi I then said to Hadrat Khalifa Tumasi II, You had before you the promised Messiah alayhi salam's book, Barahine Ahmadiyyat. At the time when the promised Messiah wrote this, he had no other Islamic literature to go by. However, since you had this in view, it was hoped that you would write something even greater. Hadrat Muslim Maud said, Who can bring greater knowledge than the chosen one of God, except to continuously extract from his concealed treasure? Hadrat Khalifa Tumasi I actually meant that it is the duty of the future generations and progeny to go on raising the previous foundations and to progress and advance. If this point is kept in view by the future generations, they will attain grace and beneficence themselves, and they can also be the source of blessings and bounties for their nations. Trying to excel one's fathers and elders should be in pious things. It is not that one is a child of a burglar and begins involved in theft. It is that if one is a child of a father who is very regular in prayers, then the child should strive to be even more absorbed in prayers. Regarding the greatness of the Holy Quran, Hazrat Musleh Maud relates, I remember a folly of my childhood. When I was a young child, then various opponents used to come into the assembly of the promised Messiah and raise objections against him. Because the promised Messiah would speak in very simple terms, I would sometimes wrongly imagine that maybe the promised Messiah would not be able to contend with their cunningness. However, when the opponents would intensify in their enmity, it would seem as if a heavenly force took hold of the promised Messiah, and he would respond with such glory and splendor that would leave the entire gathering stunned and astounded. Foolish are such people who, upon hearing people raise criticisms against the Holy Quran, say, keep quiet or your faith will go to waste. Normally, when one speaks to non-Ahmadi scholars, this is exactly what they say. Many new Ahmadis write exactly this, that they were told that such and such issue cannot be understood by you, so stay quiet, otherwise your faith will go to waste. Hazrat Musleh Maud says, actually, this is something foolish. It should be the case that when criticisms are raised against the Holy Quran, such replies should be given, which even convinces the opponents of the truth, rather than preventing a person from raising criticisms so that doubts remain in his heart. I very clearly remember something the promised Messiah told me, something which I heard him say with my own ears several times. The promised Messiah would say, if everyone in the world was like Hazrat Abu Bakr, may Allah be pleased with him, then such a large and profound Holy Quran would not be required. Only the letter Ba in Bismillah would have been sufficient. Such a deeply insightful and knowledge-filled Holy Quran has been revealed because of Abu Jahil. If there were not humans like Abu Jahil, there would not have been need for such a comprehensive Holy Quran. In short, the Holy Quran is the word of God. The more criticisms raised against it, the more will its excellence be manifested. So to think that if criticisms are raised strongly against the Holy Quran, they may not be able to be responded to, is a satanic thought. Is the Holy Quran to safeguard us, or are we to protect the Holy Quran? That scripture which requires human efforts to protect it is a false scripture and is worthy of being discarded. It has no use for us. That Holy Quran is only useful to us, which does not need any human to safeguard and protect it. Rather, its guardian is Allah the Almighty. Its criticisms are vanquished by God Himself, and He manifests its greatness. Our Holy Quran is precisely like this. Then, with regards to scrutinizing oneself and keeping control of one's emotions, there is an account of the promised Messiah on whom be peace. Once in a lane or street of Lahore, someone pushed the promised Messiah and he fell. As a result, his companions became infuriated and they were near to hitting that person. But the promised Messiah said, in his fury, this person has supported the truth, so say nothing to him. Thus, the prophets of God never speak out for their own persons, rather they only speak out to uphold God's honor and respect. So no one should think that the prophets act in the same manner as ordinary people. There is huge difference in the prophets and ordinary people. The prophets act for God, whereas ordinary people act for themselves. Then Hazrat Musleh Maud says, the promised Messiah would cite the example of the prayers of Hazrat Muawiyah. Once he missed the Fajr prayers. This mistake did not cause him to stumble, rather he progressed and advanced. So one who realizes his sins is saved from it. He who does not realize his sins becomes embroiled in rebelliousness and transgression. So a believer needs to reflect upon Ihdina Siratul Mustaqim. He should understand that he has not yet safeguarded himself from the dangers. Only then will he be protected when the voice of God tells him so. So man should constantly scrutinize the weaknesses in his own self. For such a person, the doors of spirituality open. He who does not act in this manner finds the paths of spirituality shut and he is led astray. There is opposition against the Jamaat and against the Prophets which proved to be a source of progress and advancement. In this connection, the Hazrat Musleh Maud says, we heard an account from the promised Messiah numerous times. He would say, when the opponents verbally abuse and oppose us, we hope and we expect that righteous people among them will be drawn to us. But when the opponents neither verbally abuse or oppose us and remain completely silent, This is something painful for us. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, would say, the example of the prophets is like that elderly woman, regarding whom it was known that she was quite insane. The children of the town would tease her, and she would curse and verbally abuse them. Ultimately, the parents of the children suggested that the children should stop troubling the elder lady. So they explained to the children, but children will be children, so why would they stop? And they did not listen to the suggestion. Finally, the parents of the children decided that the children should not be let out, and the door should be kept shut. So subsequently, this was implemented. For 2 or 3 days, they did not allow the children to exit their homes. When the elderly lady saw that the children were no longer troubling her, she would go from door to door and say, "Where are your children? Has a snake bit them? Have they died from cholera? Has the roof fallen upon them? Have they been struck by lightning?" In short, she would go door to door and say different things. Ultimately, people thought that the elderly woman has started giving even more abuse and curses. So what is the point of keeping the children locked in? They set them free. So the promised Messiah would say that this is the same state of the prophets. When the opposition intensifies, they suffer. And when the opponents remain silent, they are also pained. Because when there is no opposition, people's attention will not remain upon the divine movement. The prophets do not respond with abuse and curses. In every circumstance, they respond only with prayers. When opposition intensifies, they pray for the enemy, so that the righteous and sincere amongst them can come to accept the truth. With regards to opposition being a source of progress, Hazrat Musleh Maud says, "Once a Maulvi came to the promised Messiah, who was a poet and also a very famous writer. Nawab Sahib Ranpur had appointed him to write an Urdu lexicon. He said the material and the documents of the most famous poets were with Nawab Sahib. He had written a very large lexicon on Urdu. It was not yet completed when Nawab Sahib passed away. Nawab Sahib Rampur gave me all that material and documents and said I should complete it." The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, inquired that there is a lot of opposition in Rampur towards us, and you are a resident of this place. How did your attention be drawn to doing the bet, initiating into the community? He responded that someone gave me your poetry collection, Durus Sameen, and I read your poetry, because of which I was deeply impacted. It was immersed with love of the Holy Prophet. After this, Maulvi Sunaullah came there and he delivered a speech. In his address, he said that Mirza Sahib is a stern enemy of Islam. He disrespects and defames the Holy Prophet. After listening to his speech, I thought that Mirza Sahib is most certainly truthful. Otherwise, why would Maulvi Sahib need to say such a big lie about you? One who has so much love for the Holy Prophet that all his writings and poetry are immersed with it, and then a Maulvi says that this same person is a staunch enemy of the Holy Prophet, then that Maulvi must certainly be falseful. And the one he alleges to be a slanderer of the Holy Prophet is truthful. Otherwise, why would this speaker need to give false arguments? He should have spoken the truth and said that albeit this person in the poetry compilation Durus Sameen has greatly praised the Holy Prophet and has greatly praised Allah, but he is a false person. If he had said this, it would have stood to reason. However, he spoke completely falsely and said regarding the promised Messiah that he speaks ill against God and the Holy Prophet. I heard his address and immediately came to understand that Mirza Sahib is truthful in his claim, and I was ready to take his bet. The truth is that at times, the opponent tries to incite people against believers, but instead of provoking sentiments against the believers, it proves to be a source of support for the believers. There is another similar incident of the very earliest period in which Hazrat Musleh Maud says, in the district of Gujarat near Jaksakandar is a village Bahu Ghasidpur, where there were some extremely devout and sincere brothers during the era of the promised Messiah on whom be peace. He says that I was small at the time, but I remember clearly that very enthusiastically they would come and sit in the gatherings of the promised Messiah and would take great delight and enjoyment. There was a brother-in-law, the wife's brother, of the promised Messiah, whose name was Ali Sher. This is the brother of the first wife of the promised Messiah. Because it was Allah's decree, and under his command, the promised Messiah had married Hadrat Ummul Mumineen. Hence, the relatives of his first wife began to oppose him. The first wife of the promised Messiah was a very righteous lady. I have observed that she loved us so dearly that although people say that no one can love more than one's mother, however, the reality is that we used to believe in our childhood that she would love us more than a mother. This also dispels a misconception that there was no connection with the first wife. Hadhrat Musleh Maud writes, when our elder sister Ismat passed away, then during those days, our relatives had published a pamphlet with relation to the prophecy of Muhammadi Begum in opposition to him. Thus, the door between our and their house was closed by the promised Messiah on whom be peace. Hadrat Ummul Mumineen said, when Ismat fell ill and she became very frail, then just as a chicken frets before it is about to be sacrificed, so did she. And the child would continuously say in anxiety that, call my mother. That is the first mother, who they refer to as elder mother. So the promised Messiah called her. When she came and put her hand in Ismat's hand, she gained satisfaction and tranquility, and then she passed away. In short, she was a very pious lady, and she showed great affection to the children of Hadrat Ummul Mumineen. She also had great affection for the promised Messiah and respected him greatly. She could not bear for anyone to speak ill against the promised Messiah. But her brother had been deeply affected, and he would provoke Ahmadis who would try to come to see the promised Messiah. He would say that, I am his brother. I am aware that the promised Messiah has just opened up a business. There is nothing else there to see. He would say that his prophethood is just a falsehood. Weak people are deceived. When weak people hear such things, they stumble. That if the brother is saying these things, then it must be true. Once on the district Karnia, those same brothers who were mentioned earlier came. There were five of these brothers who came to Qadian. Beheshti Maqbara had not been built at the time. It was well before that period. Those people who would come to Qadian at the time to see the holy and sacred sites would either first go to Masjid Mubarak or sit in the gathering of Hadrat Khalif Tamsi I or would go to the farm of our grandfather. They would think that because that was the farm of the father of the promised Messiah, thus that was also a blessed place. En route to this farm was the Muhalla Daru Zufar that was made. Before this Muhalla was made, this land belonged to Ali Sher Sahib. That is, the brother of the first wife of the promised Messiah, who would enthusiastically form a garden there. He had a long rod in his hand, and his beard was also very long, but he was a fierce opponent of the movement. He was always looking for the opportunity to meet an Ahmadi and incite them. Once, these five brothers came to Qadian, as was mentioned, and set off to see the farm. Among them, one of them was walking very fast and was far ahead. Mirza Ali Sher saw them and recognized that they had come from outside. He called out loudly, "Oh brother, come and listen to me." So upon this, he came. Mirza Sher Ali inquired that, "What have you come here for?" He said that, "We have heard that Mirza Sahib has claimed to be the Messiah and the Mahdi. So we have come to meet and see him, because we find him to be truthful in his claim." Ali Sher responded, "How have you fallen to his trap? Do you not know that he has set up a business for his income? He is my brother. I know his circumstances thoroughly, whilst you have come from outside. How can you know of the real situation? Do not fall into his deceit, otherwise you will suffer." The Ahmadi brother, listening to Mirza Sher Ali, enthusiastically stepped forward. He said, "You must shake my hand." So Sher Ali thought that his words had affected the brother, and that he had been convinced by his noble dialogue, because Ali Sher habitually would continuously talk and would say Subhanallah and Astaghfirullah. So Sher Ali very happily extended his hand, and thought that today I've captured a good victim. So the one brother who had walked hurriedly ahead clasped Ali Sher's hand strongly. He loudly called out to the other brothers that quickly come, there is something important. Hazrat Muslim writes that our uncle Ali Sher thought that his words had affected this brother and that he was calling his brother to tell him that what he was saying was correct. In his heart he was extremely happy that today my scheme has been fruitful. When all the four brothers reached there and the five had been united, then the first brother who was there before said that we would read in the Holy Quran and the Hadith that there is a Satan in the world, but we can never find that Satan. Today, with great fortune, we have found that Satan who is inciting us. Elsewhere, the promised Messiah on whom be peace says, there is no doubt that the grace and blessings of God are like a river. If one drop is extracted from the river, what shortfall will there be in that river? It is man who is unfortunate that he deprives himself of the bounties of God and turns away from it. When a chosen one from God comes to the people, they think he is insignificant and reject him. The parents of Hazrat Baba Nanak would look upon him with contempt and disdain and would say that he has ruined our business and trade and that a useless child has been born to our home. If the parents would return alive to the world today and would see that the same child they would consider as worthless has hundreds of thousands of devotees in the world, there are people ready to sacrifice their lives for him, there are many millionaires amongst his followers, they would be astonished and astounded. But people, out of their foolishness, think that the commissioned one of God is insignificant and there is no point of accepting him. But Allah the Almighty sends such people who appear to be small and insignificant. But a time comes when thousands of people become ready to sacrifice their lives for them. Similarly, Allah the Almighty sent the promised Messiah alayhi salam in the same manner to Qadian. In Qadian, previously there was no railway station, no post office, and nor was there any institution for religious or secular education. The promised Messiah did not possess any worldly stature, and the education he attained was very nominal. So when he made the claim of being the Messiah and the Mahdi, people raised a hue and cry that God forbid this person is ignorant. How could this person possibly be the Mahdi? People would also allege that how can a chosen one of God be raised in such a small village? They would say that surely God's appointee should have come in a large town like Lahore or Amritsar. People started immense and fierce opposition against him. And those people who upon hearing this claim wanted to come to Qadian were also stopped from coming. If they were not stopped, they were made to face all kinds of difficulties and suffering. But despite all these circumstances, the promised Messiah received the revelation from God that a warner came into the world and the world did not accept him, but God would accept him and would manifest his truth through great and powerful signs. The promised Messiah received this revelation when not a single person had accepted him. And then he received the revelation that I shall cause thy message to reach the corners of the earth. In those days, the opposition of the promised Messiah was such that a servant of his who was called Bira was so ignorant that he would mix paraffin oil in his food and consume it. The promised Messiah would sometimes send this Bira servant to Batala for some tasks. On one occasion, he was sent to Batala where he came across Maulvi Muhammad Hussein Batalvi, who was known as a leader of Ahle Hadith and considered to be a great Maulvi. His main occupation was that when anyone was coming to Batala to go to Qadian, he would meet them and would say to them that this person, that is the promised Messiah, has just formed a business and is false. What will you achieve by going to Qadian? Despite this, people would still come to Qadian and would not desist from doing so, by virtue of the attempts of Maulvi Muhammad Hussein Batalvi to stop them. On this particular day, he could not find anyone else except Bira, so he went to him and said, O Pire, you should not stay with this man and let your faith be harmed. He could not understand anything of what Maulvi Sahib was saying, but he did understand that according to him, staying with Mirza Sahib was not good for him. When Maulvi Sahib had completed what he wanted to say, he replied to Maulvi Sahib and said, I am totally ignorant and cannot understand these kind of statements, but I have understood this much, that you have said that Mirza Sahib is a bad person, But I do not understand one thing, that you go all around Batala saying to people that no person should go to Gardian, and you try to stop even those people who come from other parts to go to Gardian, and you keep on trying to deceive them. But I can clearly see that God is with him and not with you, because despite all your efforts, people in their hundreds travel to Gardian even walking on foot, but no one takes the trouble to come to you. So such appointed ones of God appear to be small and insignificant at the outset. People consider them to be insignificant. People looked at the promised Messiah alayhi salam in this manner also. Hazrat Muslimah writes at the time, but today the Jamaat is spread in the corners of the world, and with the grace of the Almighty Allah, this has spread even further now. In the life of the promised Messiah at the final Jalsa Salana, 700 people attended. Hazrat Khalifatul Masih II is mentioning this in his Friday sermon, that now in Masjid Aqsa more than 4,000 people are in attendance. And today, just in this part of the world, and just even in this mosque, more than 5 or 6,000 people must be listening to this sermon. Hazrat Khalifatul Masih II says that in the time of the promised Messiah, all the peoples of India opposed him in the most intense manner possible. But despite all this opposition, our movement progressed in India and also in other countries in the world. So today our missions operate all over the world, in England, America, China, Japan, Java, Sumatra, and in all the countries in Europe. We have established our missions, and the work of preaching is continuing. The Africans are attaining this knowledge and education. The people of America and Europe who were involved in shirk are embracing Islam in their droves. The reason for this is only that Allah has established a new faith and vigor in our hearts through His Messenger, from which the rest of the people are deprived. Then Hadhrat Muslimat says that a very highly respected member of our Jamaat, Hadhrat Sahibzada Abdul Latif Shaheed, was among one such person who had come to Gardian upon hearing the claim of the promised Messiah. He left his home with the intention of performing Hajj, and upon hearing the invitation of the promised Messiah, had come to Gardian and performed the Bet. After the Bet, he went home, and the King of Afghanistan sentenced him to be stoned to death. And the only reason for this was that he had taken the Bet at the hands of the promised Messiah. People exerted all their efforts that he should change his belief and doctrines, but he disagreed, because the truth had become clear to him. Ultimately, the king buried him in the ground and stoned him to death. He was martyred in the most painful manner, but he did not utter the least sound of complaint and sacrifice his life in the way of God. Just before the stoning began, a high minister of the government came to him and said that in your heart you may continue holding the belief that you have accepted, but just utter the rejection of them with your mouth. But he said that he could not utter a falsehood. So he was martyred, and soon after his death, cholera broke out in that country and thousands perished. And see how today this destruction continues. Similarly, when people opposed the promised Messiah, Allah showed the promised Messiah that a very potent form of plague would break out in the land, and this is what happened, and thousands died as a consequence. But even during this plague, despite the fact that the occurrence of the plague was in support of his truthfulness, yet, becoming mercy personified, he offered most fervent prayers to have this tribulation postponed or delayed. He prayed so fervently and with such passion that Maulvi Abdul Karim Sahib, who used to live in the upper parts of Masjid Mubarak, says that one day he heard someone crying most pitifully and in great pain and so horrifically, like a mother in pain at childbirth. I listened attentively and found that the promised Messiah was praying to God Almighty, crying fervently, saying that, O Allah, if all of your people die, then who will be left to believe in me? This is also an incredible evidence in support of the truth of the promised Messiah. The plague had been sent as a sign of his truthfulness, but his heart was moved to ask for his mercy. This is a level of the mercy found in the hearts of the Prophet of God. May Allah the Almighty bestow a sense of honor for the faith in the heart of every Ahmadi. May He cause everyone to increase in the connection with God. May He develop patience and steadfastness in all. May He also bless us with the ability to pray for humanity to be saved. May He enable us to overcome our egos with our humility and humbleness. May He enable us to completely tread on the paths of His pleasure. May we play our roles in fulfilling the mission of the promised Messiah, and may we be those who do everything and act in every way that the promised Messiah alayhi salam had wished or desired for his followers.
Alhamdulillah.
لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر.